Just affirm and say, the Lord will take care of me in this season. The Lord will watch over my home. The Lord will keep me in good health. He will bless my food and my water. The Lord will bless my food. As I worship and serve him, the Lord will bless my food and my water. And he will take from my midst all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. And give us a full lifespan. Let's trust him. Let's thank him. Let's make our boast in the Lord this moment. Because our Father is faithful, who provides for the birds of the air, and we are more value than the birds. Thank you, Father. No matter how things are rising in prices, thank you for providing for my family. Thank you for providing for us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He will take care of us. Can we clap our hands for the Father? He will take care of us. Praise God. Let me start like this. I got some strings of miracles taking place. We wanted to just take this beyond ourselves. A lot of time, I noticed that we that are in a church like this, we receive all the good, get all the blessings, and step out and pity the world around us. And we need to be a blessing to our world. I just don't mean only giving them money and giving them, you know, being good and kind and food at this time. But we should also give them the gospel. We should, Bible says, we should partakers of the... let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:24. I hope I'm correct. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Hallelujah. Guys, are you still there? It's usually slow in the first service. It picks up faster in the second service. And then fastest in the third service. So if you want Bible to be read quickly, come to third service. So we just give us the verse before this verse. Maybe we will have that. Okay. Now, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I will be partaker of it with you. For this to be clearer, verse 22. It says, verse 22, whoever is there, not verse 24. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. That's one of the greatest crimes I noticed today, that really we just want for ourselves to be okay, rest of the world, the Lord will take care of them. And in recent time, I've been feeling guilty in the sense that a lot of us don't take the gospel serious about those who are around us. And I know the times we live in, we are very busy. But if you look at next verse, it's quite a little bit threatening. Give us next verse. Now, I do this for the gospel's sake of making others to be saved, that I might be partaker of it with you. This verse is nudging me to believe that if I'm not getting much out of the gospel, I'm not doing things for the gospel. I'm not getting it available to others, that my being blessed by it is affected by. I know what you think next is that, look at me, life is difficult. But that's not the way our Father is. Our Father doesn't treat us like that. He wants us to be a blessing. He's left us here. The only sign left for Jesus to come, you want to know? The only one sign left that be everything else taking place. 24 Matthew verse 14. The last thing left. It's the only sign we are waiting for. Give us 24 Matthew verse 14. Please do it fast. Please do it fast. Whoever is there, help me. 24 Matthew verse 14. That's not verse 14. Jerry, please help me. I can't do this. We don't have time. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. That's what the whole world is waiting for. So, in recent time, I started taking some of our money to make tracts that, you know, I mean, you don't have time to talk to people today, but you can get something they can read and follow it up. I got saved by reading. It puts things around me. They know I will not listen. I will argue with them. So they give it to me. I had somebody say something, one atheist was just arguing. One man just gave him a verse of scriptures. And he said, Lord, when he wakes up, let him see the verse. When he sleeps at night, let him see the verse. You know, 2 weeks later, that man got saved. He said that verse just tormented him. The word of God. So I said, let's start putting money. We just printed this tract to encourage believers, another one for people. It cost us 125,000 naira to make 5,000 copies each. We have this one that is called What God Wants From You. And there's another one over there. And I brought it on Friday. We pray over them. And guess what? Somebody sent a text. Thank you. Maybe we should just give copies to everybody, both of them, so that you can know what we have. Can I get ushers, please? Let's just give. You can keep it in your Bible. It's your own. Just because they are different. Okay, all right. They're two different ones. And I want us to start today. Some people will go out to share it at Ashero. Just want to partake with the gospel so we can be a sharer in it. And we can... We don't have time today to talk to people so much, so we can just drop things that can help them. I thought about sending texts. You know, people don't read texts anymore. So many of them on their phone. But people like that take it, they can fumble them, probably pick it up and touch their lives. We want to distribute them all over the town. We have some other booklets too. We are also printing. Just want to have the gospel in the hands of our people around us. But something happened on Friday after we finished. A lady in the UK who has been 30 years ago, just ask, because we have not finished paying. We paid 100K, 25 remaining. And the sister said, you said how much remains? He said, I said 25. He said, how much everything? He said, 125. She said, 125. When she told me it was night, late night, she said, 125, she sent. I said, no, it's 25, she should send. I got inspired to write more. Praise God. So we're going to make more tracts. I got up this morning, opened my phone. Somebody said, I'm going to send 125 again. We're going to print some more. Praise God. So we can spread them all over the place. Maybe you like to have some, to give some people. They'll be available. We'll put them in that hole over there. Just share the gospel with people. Just give them something they can read. They are not condemnatory. They are well written. We worked on them to see that we have Jesus being proclaimed and affecting our world. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not asking to start reading it. You can read it later. Just put it in your Bible. That's what happened. Even policemen, they like to read. You know, sometimes when I'm traveling like this, policemen just say, go put your bag. And they'll see tracts. And they'll say, can I get some? You know. When they see tracts, they never ask me for money. You know. You can keep that in the car. Just dash them. You have something. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have to make this. We shouldn't have. But this Saturday, Mrs. Olumefun is giving away her daughter. Please stand up, Mrs. Olumefun. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This Saturday by what time? 11 a.m. 11 is the new wedding time now. Because usually they will do things in the morning, and then so by 11 a.m. here. Sorry, now my wife will say, dear, don't say that. But it's not around, so I can say that. Actually, I'm not announcing for you to come. Announcing because it's official for us to announce it. We have to announce it before the thing come up. So if you don't come, if you come, you are prepared for, am I right? Come attend the service. You have to get the access card to go to the other place. There's access card. Am I right, man? So let me just stop there. Before I start committing blunders, my wife will take care of the rest. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we will use, I want us to just spread the truth, the word of God, and do that. So October 1, don't forget, 10 o'clock, we have the ladies and then the, you know where we go now? We will see about that. So, and then 4 o'clock is for men. Then let me announce this before we start going further. The Sunday following, my birthday is on October 3, the 3rd of October. So the Sunday following will just be to cut cake. We'll have joint service. So No food. We have already eaten for October 1. Hallelujah. Somebody said, this church, they eat a lot. They don't fast enough. Ask Jesus. They eat a lot in Jesus' name. The prophet was talking about Jesus. You know, praise God. So we October 6th, we have joint service. The Sunday following will be joint service, 9 a.m. So we can have, hallelujah. God is good. Say, God is good. For a few minutes, let's do something. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 17. Something practical I want us to do this morning. Pastor David was praying. You know, he was talking about verse 17 or 18, talking about the eyes of our heart being enlightened. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Let's start from verse 5. I know I'm confusing them in the media room too. This is the message which we have heard from him. And that's what we are declaring to you, that God is what? God is not darkness. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Next verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, tumbling around, we lie. I don't practice the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk where? In the light. As he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I said about two Fridays ago that John was the closest person to Jesus. He happened to hear things that others didn't hear, including the apostles. But his closeness to Jesus fetched him such an advantage that he lived beyond all of them. Jesus, when he was dying, handed over his mother to him. He was about 90 years old before he died. And the Lord gave him the privilege of concluding the testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he wrote the last few books of the Bible. And in those times, he was writing them, trying to bring everything to a close. And in closure, he was saying that, look here, the summary of this thing, that Christianity is not just dabbling around in the dark and following rituals. It's not just ritualistic thing. You pray, you fast, you give, you go out, you do that, you do that, you just do, you do all those things, you know. You know, the rest of the world are doing the same thing. They fast in Islam. They pray 5 times daily, more than before, pray. But there's no light in them. It's all outside. It's all external. If you see any fine Muslim, it's more than just what they learn in the mosque. They got some extra life from somewhere else. So he said, it's the issue of walking in the light. Light is a very precious thing. That means, you know, today, all these things you see on YouTube, what is your take, what is your take, what is your take, should not be common among Christians. You see, if I'm blind here, I can be asking, are you man of the road? But if I can see, I will walk clearly here. I will not stumble. I will not bang into this chair. So for us believers, we're supposed to walk in the light. We're supposed to have something within us guiding us. John chapter 11. Take a look at this. And I'll talk about that for a few minutes. When it comes to our decisions in life, you know, as a pastor, I see people tell me something. They acted one, like something happened yesterday. I told my wife, and somebody I met in the person, and he said, he has done this. My wife said, how could he have done that? I said, what can I see? He's already done it. You know, I see Christians taking steps personally, financially, emotionally, location-wise. They just do things and It's just amazing. You wanna? Is this what all our faith is about? What I say, we should open to John 2, John 11. Take a look here. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 8 to start from there. Disciples said, "Where do we start? Let's. What do we? It's a lot of stuff." Verse 6. Thank you. Sorry for confusing you there. So when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Let's keep on reading. And then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now, look at their response. Next verse. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately did you sought to stone you, and are you going there again? You see, these guys are not walking in the light. They're just walking by whatever statistics is happening around them. They attack you last time, so don't go there. You lost money in that business, don't try it again. Huh? Your wife didn't talk to you like that. Why should you? You know all that? You're just walking outside. But look at what Jesus said to them. I love this. He answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day or the light, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. Not stumbling financially, not stumbling maritally, not just confused. Next verse. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles. You know why? There's no light in him. Not light outside. Actually, scientifically, light, you don't see the light from outside. You see from inside. It's called your optic nerve. Actually, you are seeing from the back of your head. I hope you know that. That means, you see, the light that you see is not the light you see. Interesting. It's the light in you. If I take your optic nerve and cut it off, the light will still be there, you won't see. Because it's what you see inside. In fact, you don't see me. Nobody has ever seen me. Nobody has ever seen you. Bam. Just like God. You are only seeing the image you have in your eyes about me. That's why sometimes if you don't see me clearly, you get glasses and you see better. I've not adjusted. You are the one who adjusts your sight. Pastor Peter. You get glasses. See, it's light. It's inside. So we need to walk. Jesus said, if the light in you is darkness. Let's look at that quickly. Matthew chapter 6. So we should be walking as believers from inside about our lives, our affairs, our homes, our career. Not just do things because everybody's doing it. Sometimes, I'll tell my wife, please forgive me. Sometimes I hardly see difference between Christians and unbelievers in Nigeria. Forgive me. When they all go the same way. When they were jackpine, Christians, unbelievers are jackpine. You know, I mean, the only few people, actually, like one of church member I know, working in the light, he said he wanted to travel abroad, and he said, I'm not going where everybody's going. He prayed, and he went to Sweden. He's doing outstandingly today. And some just crashed there. Because, you see, they walk like sheep that has no shepherd. Have you seen sheep around your house that has no shepherd? You just see the first one jump ahead like that when you're driving your car, and the next just follow. What did I say we should open to? Huh? Matthew 6. Take a look at this. Verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Let's keep reading. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I believe that you should be aware of your life, aware of your mind. Prof was talking about aware what you eat, when you eat. You should be conscious that your body is alive, and you should be regulating things. You should know, oh, no, this is not so good that far. We should not be pushing you around. He said, God said, I will be their God. These shall be my people. I will live in them. I will write my laws in their heart. And no one will tell his neighbor, know the law, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. You see, when it comes to Bible knowledge and we can learn more. And we can get more light. But when it comes to our issues of life, nobody can live our life like we can live it with God. So, what am I saying in essence? Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 12. What I'm saying in essence is this. John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8, verse 12. Jesus said, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, stumbling around, but have the light. I want to let you know that Jesus It's just more than your savior. That you stumble into things, it delivers you. You stumble into that, it delivers you. You stumble into that, it deliver you. It's not going to be, it's not that kind of fire rescue campaign salvation message. What you want to do with your life is actually, besides saving you, to be delight for you. So that when you are following him, it's not a light. Buddha is a light. Muhammad is a light. Albert Einstein, they are all light. But he is the light. The Bible says he is the light that lightens every man who comes into this life. So the primary purpose of Jesus is to lighten your life. Is to lighten your affairs. That's when something, you know, over the years in my Christian life, when something happens to me, I don't think, who am I going to talk to first? Who am I going to, what am I going to do? What are the data? I go to Christ for enlightenment. He's the one who knows that you should drop your net, even in the daytime, to get fish. Am I making some sense this morning? See, a lot of us, our only light is culture and education. Our culture, it becomes our light. That's what we see. Or our education, we call ourselves enlightened. But I say higher light than that. That's the light of the world. Jesus himself, that want to enlighten you. You may not go to school much, but you can really be good financially, good emotionally, good maritally. You don't have to, because you have somebody who is called the light in your life. And there's nothing as beautiful when you are growing older and you are walking in the light. There's nothing like it. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me, he who sticks to me. You see, if you are going somewhere now, they give you a very complicated address. You know, you can't get there easily. And then you meet somebody, how do I get there? He said, take that, you're lost. Then the guy said, wait, I'm going that way, follow me. What do? You just take your eyes and your car and put it, and you keep your eyes on him. Down to sometimes when you are sick, you can know what is wrong before the doctor tells you what's wrong. You can know what's wrong. You just know. You just work things out. Just, even financially. When there's no money, you know what to do. Not just next time to borrow. Are you hearing me? Something happened to us just Friday. We needed some money. And my wife said, if you just get some money, maybe some things. I said, no, I don't operate by that. I told her, you know, we don't operate like that. I'd rather trust God for the money to come than just go start paying back somewhere. And by the evening, before I was in the service, the money came. I sent her a text. I said, yeah, the money is here. I just received an alert. She said, oh, great. That's where I live. I can't just leave. Today, the world is getting tougher and tougher and getting, you know, harder and harder. You're going to have to have light. If you are moving around rats, you don't have to worry. But when you are moving among lions and wolves, you have to be more careful. Like your wife will tell sometimes, my husband, that man is not that, they can see business, that you not lose money. She tells you, Agenia. It's light. So let's look at, let me give you a practical way. See, John chapter 8, verse 12, gave us the summary. Let's start from verse 1 and see how to walk in the light. Let's go. Chapter 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. So he's giving us the package. Now he's unpacking what he meant in verse 12. Take a look at this. Now early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Sitting down. Now, look at what happened next. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Major, major issue. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now it's going to be the light of the world here now. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Now, in parentheses, in comma, nobody knew this one except the light. This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, or a bonum in your phone, the light of the world, and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he didn't hear them. So they kept on persisting. Next verse. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at our face. We are looking at the light of the world now. Next verse. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Somebody said he was writing all their sins. That's the only time Jesus wrote. We never heard him writing any book. And those who had it, being convicted by the light of their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now wait, Jesus was standing there as the light of the world. The light is blazing. That woman was not arguing. She was in the light. She saw that it was an adulterer. But they didn't see that. You know, sometimes you can see things beyond what you see. You can see the context. And then, standing there, both of them, crowds over there, next verse. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" Next verse. He said, "No one, Lord." This is where it floored me. He said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You see, the word condemn does not mean that she should not be rebuked. It means that if we condemn her, her life is finished. And you see, nobody here wants their life to finish. Am I agreeing with you? No matter what happened to you, whether good or bad, you want to have a life continuation. Like somebody look at you and said, "Your money or your life, what do you do?" Babubue, extra. Because you know that with that extra, if you live continually, you'll be able to make more money than beyond that. Am I right? How many of you have lost money before? My two answers are all. How many of you have lost money before? You are still alive. You can make more. Now, let's look at this story. I want to talk about how do you walk in the light? And why do we make mistakes? Why do we fall? Let's start with that lady, adulterer. Now, you see, we commit sin out of two reasons. Either pleasure or prison. Mark those words. A lot of things we do in life, we do them when we decide for things. We either decide for pleasure or we decide in prison. Let me explain. See, the things you do is because it's pleasurable. Nobody, Eve didn't eat fruit to disobey God. She ate the fruit because she thought it's good for food, nice to look at, and will give you wisdom. That's how all of us do. We hardly don't walk in the light. We walk in our pleasure and in the prison. When you see somebody who is committing adultery, two things happen to them. They want to repeat the pleasure again and again. Or second, they are in prison in sexual chain. They can't keep away from it. They want to get. So if you look at this lady over here, two things happened to her, either of the two, that she was in pleasure making their decision, or she was in prison just doing that. I know one man that was born again years ago. He just couldn't keep away from women. So it was beyond just pleasure. Now it has become like cocaine, addiction. My uncle here knows what I talk about addiction. He studied a lot of things about addiction. That prof said, You become carried away by it. You just flow with it. And sometimes a lot of things we do in life, we do them by addiction. All of us have addictions, just different levels. Are you hearing me? Addiction to excitement. You do it because of excitement. Or to adventure. You just pack your load. I move to America. Because you are tired of just, you are bored. Are you hearing me? So Jesus was looking at her. And then, how are you going to change that? How are you going to walk in the light? Then they brought the law in and the elders. These are our problems in actually walking in the light. The law and the elders. If you're going to walk in the light and be very innovative with our life and accomplish things that are beyond what we really want to see in our lives, we have to stop thinking the law. You see, the law came and said, they just grabbed her. And he said, the law of Moses said, stone her to death. See, are we here, everybody? Please, please, please. Christianity is not the law. We are not under the Old Testament. For instance, we just had prof talking about, they didn't tell them what to eat under the Old Testament. They told them what to eat. Don't eat that. And in the new, we are told to eat everything. That's more difficult. Freedom is tougher. If you don't believe me, look at the house of Israel. When they were in Egypt, they were crying. But when they got out into the wilderness, they wanted to go back. Do you know why? Because making choices are not easy. It's not easy, rather. Determining what to do with your life is not easy. You do stupid things sometimes, and all of us do. Abawabura, away, it's a form of addiction. So, number one, you just can't go to the law and just pick up the law, the rules. You know, I was telling my wife and some other people yesterday, we were talking about deciding some issues in our lives, and I said, wait. I said, don't just look at what is written as laws. What is governing law? So Jesus said this to us. Whatever you want men to do to you, do it to them first. That's the sum of all the law and the prophet. Then something I told them, they said a new law is out. Then I backed up what I said. I was not in legislative chamber. If you just walk in the light, you do things that you fulfill the law. But you see, you can't start with the law. They came to Jesus, he was stoned to death. Huh? That's not commit adultery. Either pleasure or it's prison. So many of us, we just go by instinct. What's the next thing? That's what we should do now. No, don't do that like that. Like now, your wife, do something at home, you just respond as demand. No, relax. Walk in the light. Are you feeling here now? Bible says it's honorable. The light says it's honorable for a man to receive insult and overlook it. That's not true. That's the light. Remember, the entrance of your word gives light. But many of us, we don't let the word come in. We just act as we do. So the law is always there. The rules. What do the rules say? What should we do? Okay, you go to school now. You must do this now. You must do that now. You don't do that kind of a thing. And usually, the elders give us problems too. I'm one of the elders, but I refuse to be the elder. Do you know what I've learned over the years? Give people space to be themselves. Give people what? Space to be themselves. Traditions, eldership, I know a lot of things. I've read a lot of things. But walking in the light is different. Look, I have volumes of books. If I show you all the books I have, which I don't have time to even read. But when I'm dealing with life issues, I don't consult the books. I just read them. Huh? When I come to life issues, I go to my light, Jesus Christ. And how do I go to him? I lay aside my own instinct, my own tradition, my own idea. And I get to say, Lord, let's talk about this. Usually, he will deal with my motive. Notice those elders. They were doing that because they had a grouse against Jesus. Can I be honest with you? Please forgive me if I hurt anybody here. When you go to people a lot to know what to do, they will give their advice based upon themselves, not based upon you. Lot of people. Only few people actually step out of their lives and consider your life. When I began to do that, it changed everything in me. When somebody comes to me, I don't say, if I were you, I don't do that anymore. I will ask the Lord, if this life is this life, what should you do at this moment under your light? I should not just jump. The elders had experience. And they will advise you. See, they had a grasp like now. Look at, sorry, forgive me. You tell your child, you must study that course, engineering. Why? You have to study it. Why? Because I couldn't pass for engineering, which was my dream. So you must live my dream. You see, that is the elder having a conviction to get things done. Huh? That can happen in church too. You can see a pastor. Somebody say, Pastor, I want to build my house. What house do you want to build? I want to build a duplex. And pastor has bungalow. Huh? I'm telling the truth. Oh, a friend, I want to buy that car. Don't buy that car. Because the car will sell his own car. He may not say that, but all of us are guilty of self-preservation and self-glorification. Now, don't get me wrong. Go to the elders. So I'm one of them. I'm 62. So, don't worry about where elders now. But you know what? Before every life, I remove my shoe. It's a holy ground. When you sit down in my office, I'm talking with you. I don't see you as just my extension, and what I think. No, you are a life different. So I'm challenging you today to start walking in the light. And how do you walk in the light? Get Jesus there. And get your conscience working. Two things. Get Jesus there and get your conscience working. What do I mean by that? Go to the Bible. Not just to do like this. What will I do now, Father? Put your finger there. You know, you open your Bible. You say, Lord, what will I do now? So pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm. I'm going to pursue. And you just can't do that. If you're not careful, one day you're going to put your fingers there and say, Judas hang himself. And then you do another one. He said, do likewise. The Bible was not given like that. It was not given. It's given to give us light as we ruminate, as we think over it. So what do? You take your Bible. If you notice, my time is up. If you notice, when they built the Old Testament temple, listen to this, everybody. When they built the, God said, I'm going to give you the most holy box. Most holy box. That's the Ark of the Covenant. You know what God did there? God put the book of the law inside that box, and he put a cover on it called the what? Mercy seat. Am I right? And then he said to Moses, I will talk to you from the top of the ark. Not just quoting the book underneath. You see, I noticed something. When you come to the Lord like this, Lord, this is confusing me. And you take your Bible and start looking at God, what do I do with this? As you are doing like that, the Lord starts taking you through what he has for you. Here a little, there a little. You get, what do I do with that? And that's why it's so fantastic praying in the spirit. Oh, there's nothing like it. That your spirit can contact the spirit of God, and on the pages of the book, you are interacting together. Praise God, somebody. Am I making some sense today? You look at it, you pray, you think about it, and you are looking and you are saying, Lord, what do I do with this? How do I handle this? Don't just react by instinct and say, no, we're going to deal with that. But you stop. I noticed something, my maturity in the recent years have really gotten better when I began to look more inward and look into the Lord than just acting, I beg me, say bye. How many of you know Bishop Francis Wale Oki? I know you know. Let me say something. Brother Peter's dad led Bishop Wale Oki to the Lord. Right, yes. Now, Mr. Wale Oki, when we were on the campus, it was last year when I was just coming in at LBCU, Lagos University, the Lord called him to the ministry. And you don't know Mr. Wale Oki today, he's one of the greatest catalysts for Pentecostal in Nigeria, Holy Ghost Convention in Ibadan, catalyzed almost everything. And the Lord started telling him, you should go and do ministry. And he started praying, and he went to Pa'erting in Elisha. How many of you know Pa'erting? You have the Pa'erting. If anybody who knows those years, Pa'erting was number one Christian in Nigeria, Pentecostal. And he prayed, went to see Pa'erting. And Pa'erting said to him, God has done away with ministry. Ministry will not be the new wave of the future. And the Lord was telling Mr. Wale Oki, please, I want you to do this work. I remember those days when those 1980, earlier 1822, things were just dry in the country. You can't compare now. And it was one of the catalysts. Do you know, Pastor Papayete said, don't do that. So he left Elisha. He told us, he almost cried all the way to Ibadan. They painted paper. They've done everything. But I said, don't go. He went to the room and prayed and sobbed. I think prayed in the spirit. God said, go ahead. Go ahead. He was not disobedient, but he was just following God. The light I have. Do you know that? Holy Ghost Convention took off. So the Spirit took off. They started ministering. Things are happening. They went to go and have Holy Ghost Convention in the lorry. Everything came and said, this is of God. I was wrong. So I want to beg you, as you get older now, look at life more consciously. Look at life more aware. Yeah, get advice. Get all that. But I'm the light of the world. I'm not a light. I'm the light of the world. Things will look appealing. Let's follow that light. Are you hearing me, somebody? Concerning our children, concerning our career, let's follow that light. Let me round up. Choir, come up soon. Years ago, I wanted to buy a Bible. I've told you before now. I wanted to buy a Bible. I was in medical school. I was still working in this lighting. So I woke up that morning. I'd already got it. I prayed. Believe God for the money. I got the money. I woke up that morning to pray. And I just felt, don't buy the Bible. That's not working in the light. You should buy a Bible now. Huh? All right. Get ready. Have you finished looking? They are gathering. So let's continue. So I got up and I went toward, I can't forget that road today. I can show you when I get to Loot. If I get you to Loot, I got to that place around Modular Theater. And I saw the Bible. He said, how much? I priced it. It went down. I said, that's what I felt this morning. I should buy the Bible, but I should price it. So I priced the Bible, paid for it, took my Bible, got to the New Great Hall in Loot, wrote Amoson Tunde J. Amoson, son of God, man of faith. So I started opening the Bible. From John 4 to Act 8, just miss in the Bible. I wish I'd kept that Bible. It's Mr. Pastor, maybe Mr. Naked. You know, okay, just like this. I can read John 4, Act 8. Abaku. So I picked the Bible. I went, the buyer. He said, okay, return it. When he looked at the front, he saw my name. He said, I can't return it anyway. Name is Even to buy the Bible, you have to walk in the light. Now, please, can I put a clause? Don't become in bondage. I don't have any light. Just tell the Lord, this is what I do. Sometimes things are happening and I have to decide. I say, Lord, I just walk in the light I have right now about doing this. And if I make any mistake, I know you bring further light to go out of this. You can never be trapped in the light. Are you hearing me? Even when you made the mistake, light will lead you out of it. Can we clap our hands for Jesus, somebody? Praise God. Can we just pray and say, Lord, increase the light in me. Let your light get intensified in me. Let your light increase. Whatever I do, whatever you are given to do, task, spiritual task, marital task, how do you love your husband? Or how do you submit to your, what do you do with your home? How do you look at the future? It's something that God has brought to you. He said, I will guide you. I will lead you. I say, Lord, I put aside pleasure and prison. I'm not going to be child of instinct anymore and just do things by myself and just only by the data around me, statistics of the common advisors. Help me to look intently. Help me to see you. And help me to track you in my way. Help me to track you in your way. Enlighten, we just prayed this morning, enlighten the eyes of my understanding. Help me see from inside. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You open your eyes. I just had this. The Lord said, The Lord said, he that loves his brother walks in the light. He that hates brother walks in the darkness. The more you love, in fact, I look back now. When I started loving more, light was easier for me. I started loving, always thinking of others and looking at their welfare. Light rise up. Praise God. Let's pray over our offering. Give. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We bless you today that you are our light. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I cannot be trapped because the Lord is my light. I cannot be put down forever. The Lord is my light. So we bring our offering to you and say, Lord, be our light financially. Guide us what to do. Show us how to spend well. Show us how to invest in these our latter days. Help us not to crash our life. Help us to move ahead and see your faithfulness and provision in every way in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give our offering and tithe. Thank you.